eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Everybody was just living their lives the way that it always has been. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Who are the all that were taken away, or who didn't get taken away? Noah and his three sons and all their wives. Eight people survived that flood. All the rest were taken away. They were all basically what? Condemned. And eight people survived that flood. The rest were taken away. Now listen to what the Lord says. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now here comes the portion of Scripture that I would venture to say that the majority of the church, the body of Christ, misunderstands because they don't see the difference between the gospel for Israel and the gospel for the church, the body of Christ. And so he goes on to say this. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. I don't want to put anybody in the spot, so don't do anything that'll embarrass you. But who's the fortunate one? The one taken or the one left? Who was the fortunate one in the days of Noah? The ones taken or the ones left? The ones left. Who are the fortunate ones here? The ones taken or the ones left? The ones left. Because Christ is coming to earth to set up his kingdom. And the ones that are left here on the earth will go into their kingdom just like Noah and the eight went into the ark. And the ones taken are taken away to judgment. And now let's jump over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. Only it will be heavenly glory here on earth. All the nations will gather before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the king, what's he king of? The kingdom. The king of Israel. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Those are the ones that are left. And then jump down to verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those are the ones that are taken. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So that's all about the second coming. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the marvelous catching up of the body of Christ off this earth to meet the Lord in the sky. Let's look at one more verse. If you remember the hymn we just sang, it talked about the pearly gates and walking on streets of gold. That's not talking about our future. That's talking about the promises that Israel will have. Let's look at our final verse here, Revelation 21, 21. This is talking about the holy city that's come down out of heaven. And it says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. There's your pearly gates on the holy city. Each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. That's the street of gold that is often associated with heaven, where we're going to be. But it's not heaven, it's the holy city. And that's totally all Jewish. Okay, now let's look at the gospel for the church, the body of Christ, which teaches the catching up of the body of Christ to meet the Lord in the air. Now the scriptures give much more detail concerning the future conditions here on earth for Israel than what is written concerning the specifics of the future of the church, the body of Christ. But we do have, what we are told is that our future is far better than our earthly experience. That it is beyond anything we could ask or think. That we will have a body as a member of Christ's body. Each one of us will have a body fashioned after His glorious body. And that this situation for us is forever. So let's look at some verses. Philippians 1:23. I am torn between two. This is the Apostle Paul talking now. He knows his future. I pray that you know your future. Philippians 1:23. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. I think the King James says, which is far better. Coupled, this word, which is far better, is really a combination of three words. And what it means is much by far better, or very far better. And that's what we need to embrace, because we're not going to find a lot about, you hear people say, what are we going to do for eternity? God hasn't made that known, but I can guarantee you it's going to be much by far better than anything you could ask or imagine, and it will be forever in a body like His glorious body. So don't take my word for it. We'll read some more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3. 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so, it's beyond whatever we can think, and it's forever. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. But our citizenship, and this is really an important point, I think, to embrace. But our citizenship is in heaven. There's no Israelite in the world that has that promise. Their citizenship, those that make it, those that endure to the end, or whatever will be required, their citizenship is in their kingdom here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so let's read that again. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Every believer in Jesus Christ will have a body fashioned the same way that His is. And it's going to be a fantastic, eternal body. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Our future is not here on the earth. We are not those that were, when Christ said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He wasn't talking to us. He was talking to the Israelites. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just want to read one verse here. Today now, you're seeing more and more books written and movies made and everything else about my 15 minutes in heaven, or my 2 hours in heaven or something like that. They may have experienced something, whatever it was, I don't know. They may believe with all their heart it was heaven or something else. I don't mean to be bah humbug about any of that. But the Apostle Paul, the Apostle chosen by Christ to give a revelation for the church, the body of Christ, was caught up into heaven at one time. And so let's look at what happened to him. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Pardon me? I'm sorry, chapter 12 and verse 2. Chapter 12 and verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And that's sort of like, you know, whether there's a pre-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture, you can believe however you want to, but God knows how it's all going to work out. And I trust Him. Verse 3. And I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the, or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. And my memories fade me a little bit, but in my study of that last phrase, things that a man is not permitted to tell, is really phrased, and I'm not going to be able to tell you right now, I don't think. It's phrased that man is not allowed to tell. Paul can't tell. He's not given that opportunity. I can't remember exactly, but it had a little twist to it that was emphatic. And then let's go to one more, Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. Ephesians chapter 2, 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's the spiritual reality today. Every believer in Jesus Christ is a member of the body of Christ. His existence before God is now in Christ. And even now, we are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. In the order that in the coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We are going to be a trophy of the manifold wisdom of God for all eternity. For all the time from Genesis chapter 12 all the way through the Gospels and early on into the book of Acts, we were heathen dogs, separated from Christ, without God in the world, and without hope. And now, an undisclosed, hidden truth that God had planned from before the foundation of the world, He has made known through the Apostle Paul, that He's going to take that group of uncircumcised dogs and elevate them to what I believe is higher than the angels. Because we're told in Paul's letters that we will judge the world, we will judge angels. How that is all going to work out, I don't know. But God's got it worked out, and He's told us that. And that is overwhelming to me. If that doesn't cause you to want to be a little kid again and just and desire that. You see why they say we sort of agonize for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. When you start to see our future in Christ, it causes, gives you a great desire to let's get on to the next stage. Okay, and then just some others that you're very familiar with, and we won't take a lot of time here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about the dead in Christ will rise first. All those that, since Paul's message, all those that have believed the gospel of the grace of God, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, all those people that have died, have been separated from their body and gone to be with Christ, will be raised first. And now, in verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. All our brothers and sisters in Christ, all our loved ones who have believed the gospel, Jesus Christ is going to bring with Him in the clouds, and in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. Those of us that are alive, if we're still here, when that happens, in an instant, we'll be changed and caught up. Those that are already up there, they've got bodies that are already laid out for them in heaven, and they'll be reunited. They'll stand erect in the clouds in a body not made by human hands in the heavens. And we, which are alive, will be changed and caught up to be with them forever. What a future is laid up for every believer in Christ. And how different that is. Not in any way to minimize the marvelous future for Israel and for the earth and for the Gentiles that survive the judgments. But I don't believe it compares to the incomparable riches of God's grace for the church, the body of Christ. Okay. That's it for today. But I pray that you are confident and assured in your faith. And you know, as Paul tells us, nothing in all the world, neither life nor death, nor things to come, nor things present, all of that thing in Romans can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In God's gospel of grace, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sealed by the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. And you are sealed, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, which is a guarantee of the redemption of the purchased possession. And so for every believer in Christ, our future is secured by the blood of Christ and the truth of God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the truth You've given us. We thank You for the truth of Your Word and the marvelous gospel of Your grace. All that that has brought us in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll continue to grow in grace, that we will continue to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And one day, Lord, we'll all be gathered together to be with You forever. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.